What a blessing. Wonderful songs to worship by. And the Lord anoints those songs. And then we give him praise and honor for that, which leads us into the Word of God from the man of God. We are so blessed again this year to have Brother Leonard Fletcher with us from Mountain City, Tennessee. He pastors Thatcher Grove Baptist Church in Butler, Tennessee. And we are blessed again. If you've ever been up that way, it's the most beautiful church you've ever seen, right on the banks of a river, just picturesque inside and out. And you just want to stop and just worship the Lord there.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have you, brother.
Amen. God bless you, preacher. Well, it's a joy for me to be back again in Fletcher, North Carolina. I'll be honest with you, I'd come here more if I didn't have to come through Asheville. That there's enough to deter anybody from coming to Fletcher, having to go through Asheville. But anyway, I will do that for you folks because y'all are that special, and I appreciate the Lord helping us today and bringing us here, and it's good to see you. Of course, I'm thankful the Lord's let us be here now for a few years, and I appreciate that. I don't take that lightly and don't take that for granted. You could have anybody to come that you wanted to have, and I'm honored that you let me come be with you, and I appreciate the privilege to be here. Praise the Lord. And just good to see all of you again, and see some of my friends here on the front here that I've known for most of their life from our area, and they've transplanted down here, and I'm glad to see them tonight. Matter of fact, Brother Brian's family, I've had his mother and father were members of our church. I was telling them about his dad. His dad was one of the best members that a church could have. He was someone who never knew a stranger. He invited more people to church than anybody I have ever known in my life. He never held a position in the church, wasn't a deacon. He didn't sing in the choir. He did ring the bell for us. He did. He was our bell ringer and that. But anyway, I told him at his funeral, I said, the best I can tell, it's going to take 10 people to replace him. Because he was that valuable. And I think, you know what, we need more people like that in our churches. Of course, his mother as well. And then Miss Donna, I've known her family for many years as well. Just we appreciate them so much. And it's just good to see all of you. The sister playing the piano asked me if I'd sing tonight. She asked me if I'd sing a song. And I said, well, I don't know if I want to punish them on the first night or not. But anyway, I might do a song for you tonight. Since I was here last time, my family's recorded a new CD, new project out there, and I've got 8 new songs on it. Plus, I've got 2 old songs from days gone by that we re-recorded. That's been a blessing to people down through the years. And so, anyway, we got that. And since I was here as well, the Lord has blessed me. I used to get requests to a lot of places I go, asking if I had sheet music for my songs, and I had just a couple done in sheet music. But there was a lady contacted me one day, and she said, preacher, you really need to get some of your songs in a book so the churches could have access to them. And so, because not a lot of people play by ear. Not all people do that. Some need the music. And I said, well, you know, I probably need to do that. So I have just received, matter of fact, 2 weeks ago, I got my song book back. It's got 30 songs in it. Some of the ones that I've written down through the years, it's, the Inspirations have recorded, 5 of those. And, of course, songs like I'm Not Ashamed to Stand and Say That I Love Jesus. That was nominated for Song of the Year in 2006. The Inspirations sang it and, wrote that at work one day when I was working in the supermarket, wrote it on the dog food aisle of a grocery store on a piece of cardboard. And, God took it places I never dreamed it would. And God's Word Will Stand is in there. They did that one. I Found a Faithful Friend. It's Under the Blood. And they did an up-tempo song of mine called When Jesus Turns My Prison Into My Shouting Ground about the story of Paul and Silas. And so those are in there along with many others in that. But I may do one tonight off of this, and it's on the new CD. It's an up-tempo song. I wrote a lot of songs where I've had to go through trials to get them. And one day my wife looked at me and she said, I sure wish the Lord would let you write a happy song. That's what she said. Because, see, she knew what we was having to go through and get the things we were getting. And so this is kind of a happy song I wrote, and it's just an upbeat song, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's on the new CD and in the songbook, if I can play it just right. My wife's the piano player in the family, but I'll try my best. Sometimes I feel so all alone while struggling through this land, climbing over mountains high and crossing desert sands. My heart get weary on the trip, my strength is gone and I start to slip. But one thing keeps me pressing on, I'm looking for that land. I'm looking for that land, the eye of faith I see. I'm looking for that land where loved ones wait for me. I'm looking for that happy time with Jesus there and peace sublime. We're gonna live forever there. I'm looking for that land. Dear pilgrim, it won't be too long till we will say goodbye. We'll soon forget this life's short trip and all the weary miles. My pack of burdens here below won't reach that golden strand. While shouting, passing through the air, I'm looking for that land. I'm looking for that land, the eye of faith I see. I'm looking for that land where loved ones wait for me. I'm looking for that happy time with Jesus there and peace sublime. We're gonna live forever there. I'm looking for that land. We're gonna live forever there. I'm looking for that land.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I am looking for that land. Praise God. Jesus there forevermore, and I'm glad, praise God. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Good to see the preachers here tonight. Good to see Brother Pryor here, and I appreciate that. He had me to come and preach for him, and they were in the middle of a remodeling project, and they had just freshly painted the church. And the day I was down there, the paint fumes were so strong that I think I was a little bit inebriated by the time I left there that night, because, and I said, man, we're all going to be high as a kite in here tonight smelling this fresh paint. But anyway, I like to aggravate him about that. But anyway, 1 Kings chapter number 17, and I want to start reading in verse number 17. If you study the Word of God, you find in this chapter of 1 Kings is our first introduction to the man of God by the name of Elijah. You find the story how that God spoke to Elijah, told him to go to Ahab and tell him that it wasn't going to rain for a number of years. And God was bringing judgment upon the land. And the Bible said that after Elijah told Ahab, and matter of fact, I said this is the most famous weather forecast in the history of the world. Elijah, the first thing we see him doing, he's predicting the weather, and he nailed it. And a number of years, 3.5 years, that it did not rain upon the earth. And the Bible said that God told him, said, now I want you to go down to the brook Cherith and hide yourself there. And you know the story, how he went there, and God said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And the Bible said that the ravens brought bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. And most commentators believe that Elijah stayed by the brook for about a year. But finally, the brook dried up, and the Bible said the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and he said this, said, I want you to rise and get yourself to Zarephath. Zarephath, the name Zarephath, means a place of refining. And he said, I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. Now, this blesses my heart. It may not do nothing for you. But God's already been talking to the birds, and now he's talking to a widow woman, and she's doing what he tells her to do as well. And he said, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And the Bible said that Elijah went to Zarephath. When he got there, sure enough, right there at the gate of the city, here's a widow woman who has a little boy, and she's gathering some sticks. She's getting ready to make a meal. And Elijah says, would you fetch me some water? And the Bible said she went and started to go get it. And while she was going, he said, would you bring me a morsel of bread? Do you have? And here's where she began to tell of her serious need. She said, well, I have not a cake. All I've got's a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And she said, I'm gathering these sticks and I'm going to make a last meal for me and my son, and we're going to die. Now, that's a pretty bleak proposition if you ask me. If you have come down, I know everybody's having it hard in these days. We're in the hardest days I've known in my life. And but yet, here is a woman that she is considering the prospect that she is now going to make a last meal for her and her son. She has nothing else left. She has nothing that she can sustain herself with. And she said, we're going to make a last meal for me and my son, and we're going to die. Well, here's where we find out that Elijah was a Baptist preacher, because he said, you make me a cake first, praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something right now. He had to be a Baptist preacher. Here's a widow woman. She's down to her last little handful of meal. And he says, make me a cake first. And you know the story, how that God. And here's where we find out that this woman wasn't a Baptist, because the Bible said she went and did as the man of God said. And there's not a lot of them doing that in these days that I know. But can I say to you, I'm glad that God is able to sustain us in the midst of no matter what we're facing. I don't care how bleak the prospects may be. The Bible said that all during the drought that God touched the meal barrel. Every time she went back to the barrel, there was enough there for another meal. The Bible doesn't say it ever ran over, but it never ran out. And I'm glad that He's a God sometimes of those little blessings God brings to our life. Now you think about a great miracle that God touched a meal barrel and the cruse of oil so that it did not fail during the drought. You'd think after that that surely everything's going to go well in your life. But here's where I'm reading tonight. Verse number 17. And it came to pass after these things. What things, preacher? The great miracle she's experienced in the midst of the drought. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again. I like this verse, verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. That's why it's good to pray out loud every now and then so God can hear your voice. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came unto him again. And I want you to notice, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Now, for just a few moments, God, as we look into this precious book, Lord, would you encourage your people here tonight? Father, we realize we're living in bleak times. Father, we know things are bad and there's difficulties on every hand. Lord, there may be somebody here wondering how in the world they're going to be sustained during a time like this. But God, we know you're the God that touched the meal barrel of a widow woman. And God, you said you've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread. And God, we ask you now that you just touch us and help us by your good mercy and grace. And Father, we're going to give you praise for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. I want to think on this thought when you hear, you see the scene now. After the great miracle of being sustained, I'm talking about the weakest of society being sustained in the midst of a drought. And now all of a sudden one day her son falls sick. And the Bible said his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I can imagine this mama, she's got this little boy on her lap and she's doing everything she can to try to keep him alive. Boy, how many times have we done that in our lives? There'll be a situation that we're doing our best to try and keep it alive, yet in spite of all of our efforts, it seems like the life goes out of it. Oh, you know what happens when something dies, don't you? You usually dig a grave and you have a burial. And here's a widow woman that she's already in grave digging mode when Elijah meets her at the gate. She's preparing a last meal. She said, I'm gathering these two sticks and said, I'm going to prepare a meal and then I'm going to die and my son's going to die. She's already planning the funeral. She's already in her mind. I thought about how many times are we ready to bury something because it appears that there's no life left in it. When all the while there's a God that's able, hallelujah, to bring new life to something that it appears is dead. I'm preaching on this subject tonight on don't dig the grave just yet. Revival is only a breath away. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm awful bad. I grab my spiritual shovel many times. I see things that I'm trying to keep alive as a pastor. Sometimes you see things in the church that seem like they're dying. It may be that the Sunday school is dying. It may be that the choir, the Spirit of God is not on it and it seems like it's dying. And man, the first inclination is we might as well just dig a hole and we might as well bury it. When all the while, all we need is for God to send a new touch upon those things. I remember years ago when I was a young preacher, there at the church, and church was beginning to grow, and I'm one of those preachers. I'm like most preachers. I kind of like getting a few amens while I'm preaching. Y'all been served notice now, okay? And I kind of like getting a few of them. We went for two or three week stretch. It seemed like the amens were getting lower and wasn't getting as many. And one Sunday morning, I was getting ready for church, and I got something on my mind. I went down in the basement of my house where I kept my tools. I had a long handle shovel down there, and I got that thing and I put it in my car, and I took it to church with me. And when I got to the church, I walked in, carried it up the aisle, and I leaned it up against the pulpit and just left it there. Didn't say anything about it. Just left that shovel there that morning, and everybody was kind of whispering and talking about it, and they know I'm very illustrative in the way I preach, and they thought, well, he's going to use that in the sermon. He's going to illustrate something, and I just let them talk that morning. I never said anything. When it finally came time for preaching, I got up. I announced where I was going to be preaching from. My text, I got ready to read the text, and I said, now before I read my text, I need to clear something up here today. I said, some of y'all been wondering what this shovel's here for today. I said, I want to let you know this. It has absolutely nothing to do with the message today. I said, I'm not using it as an illustration. It has nothing with what I'm preaching on today. But the reason it's here is this. I said, where I come from, anything that's dead ought to be buried. And I said, unless some of y'all liven up today, I'm digging a hole and throwing dirt on some of you today. I can't believe I even said that, but I did. And you ain't gonna believe this, but man, some of them started hollering, amen, that Sunday, praise God. I think they said, he's just crazy enough to try it, praise God. But can I say to you, sometimes things die, and our first inclination, we go around with our spiritual shovel. We're ready to bury it, when all the while, God wants to send a resurrection. God wants to send a revival, hallelujah to his name. Just remember this. Don't dig the grave just yet. I'm going to give you four things tonight, and I'll be through. Number one, don't dig the grave just yet because you don't know who might show up at the gate. Amen. Boy, that's the great unknown in our lives. Sometimes we look at our situations, and it looks bleak, and sometimes we're figuring, how are we going to do this, and how are we going to do that? And all the while, we have no idea who God has scheduled to come into our lives. life, just like the man of God Elijah. He's not yet known as the prophet of fire, but he's coming to a little place called Zarephath. He's scheduled by the Holy Ghost of God to be there. And you think about all the places he could have went in the land. I'm talking about he went to the least of the least. A little widow woman's got a boy and he's about to die and they're going to have a last meal, and yet God cared enough to send the mighty man of God Elijah. I got news for you right now. Sometime when you're about ready to throw in the towel, when you're about ready to give up, God will bring somebody into your life that'll bring a message from God that'll encourage you in the journey and keep you on the path. Hallelujah to His name. Several years ago, I'm getting ready to start my 29th year at the church. That's hard for me to believe, but I've almost 29 years at Dyson Grove Baptist Church, and I was having one of them Mondays that every pastor has after on Sunday, after you've just kind of flopped and it's just not been good and you've tried your best and it seems like it's been a failure. And I was having one of them, I call them resigning Mondays. As them days when you're so discouraged about how it seemed like you came up short on Sunday and the old devil's beating you up. And I said, them resigning Mondays, that's when you're writing out your resignation. Now, I've got a whole stack of them. I've wrote them out. I never have turned one in yet, but I've wrote a whole stack of them. But anyway, one of these days I'll be well prepared when it's time to do that. But anyway, I was so discouraged on that Monday because it seemed like I just, you know, your preacher ain't always on cloud nine. Your preacher ain't always calling down fire from the sky. Your preacher ain't always got all the answers for you. Sometimes he's struggling just as much as you are. And that Monday I felt that way and I was so discouraged. I didn't even want to go in my study. But I knew I had to study for Wednesday night service. And I'll be honest with you, I had no desire to even study, to be honest with you. That day I was discouraged. And I finally went into my study, though. I couldn't get a thought. I picked up that Bible. It looked like the pages were blank on it. I couldn't find a thing. And it was one of them days I said, well, I got to have something to preach for Wednesday night. And I said, sometimes I've got books on my shelves. And I said, sometimes if I'll do a word study, it'll trigger something in me, a thought process. And maybe I'll get a thought how the Lord's leading me. And I picked this book up off my shelf that I own that I used to do word studies. Hadn't looked at it in a while, but it was on my shelf. And I went over and picked it up that day. I noticed there was something stuck in the book. And that's unusual because I don't put stuff in my books. And immediately when I recognized something was stuck in my book, I began to look at it. And when I looked at it, it was a preaching CD that I did not even know that I had. I didn't even know I owned it. I don't know where it came from. I have no idea how it got stuck in that book. I'm talking about I'm in my study with the door shut, me by myself, and I pick up a book that's got a CD in it. And it's a preaching CD of my preacher friend who just went to heaven just recently, Dr. Larry Brown from Augusta, South Carolina. And I picked it up that day, and you ain't gonna believe what the title of that message was that day. When I was in my study so discouraged that I couldn't hold my head up, I looked at the title of that message, and this is what the message was. A Devil Called Discouragement. That day when I saw that title on that CD, I forgot about studying. I forgot about all that. I just put that CD in and I sat back and the tears flowed and God's man helped me that day. I've got news for you right now. You say, well, preacher, that sounds kind of odd. How did it get there? I have no idea. You could probably ask Elijah how in the world an angel got to a juniper tree too. You could probably ask him how it was that God baked a cake for him. Amen. I'm here to tell you, God's able to bring into your life the very thing you need the most. Don't dig the grave just yet. You may be ready to give up on something, and God's getting ready to bring something in your life that'll encourage you to go another day. Amen. Oh, I've had so many things like that happen to me down through the years. I remember one Saturday I was headed to the Johnson City Hospital to visit somebody in the hospital. And it was one of them weeks, just seemed like I had a lot going on, had a lot of people either sick or somebody's hurting or somebody needing something. I was thinking about it all. It's kind of like had me overwhelmed in mind. I'm driving around Watauga Lake, headed down to the hospital, and I didn't have the radio on nothing in the truck, but it was so that the voices in my head was, it was loud, quiet is what it was. And I was driving across the Butler Bridge. These young'uns know where the Butler Bridge there, and it's a big high bridge that goes, spans across Watauga Lake there. I was in the middle of the Butler Bridge, and it was just, I was so overwhelmed in mind that day thinking about all the situations people were facing, and I couldn't fix none of it. And I said, man, I gotta break the silence in this truck. And I just reached up and I hit my radio dial, and I had it on the gospel station there in Bristol. And these are the first words I heard. I'm in the middle of the Butler Bridge. I'm talking about, all of a sudden I hear, just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. I got so happy I just about stopped and jumped off the Butler Bridge that day. Amen. I'm here to tell you, praise God, God can bring a song to you. He can bring a preacher to you. He can bring a testimony to you. I'm glad God knows where you're at. Some of you right now, you're digging your grave and you said, boy, this is never going to change. But I'm here to tell you, you don't know who might show up at the gate. Number two, don't dig the grave just yet. Not only you don't know who's going to show up at the gate, number two, you don't know how big your little might become. Here is a woman in her life, everything is little. She's got a little meal. She's got a little oil. She's got a little boy. And she's even got two sticks. She's going to build a little fire. Everything in her life is little. Boy, sometimes the devil will convince you that the little things you're... See, she had a little obedience too. When the man of God said, you make me a cake first, she didn't question him. She just went and did. As the man of God, she had a little obedience. And the devil will convince you those little things you're doing for God, those little things that nobody else sees, the devil's going to convince you that it's all in vain. The devil's going to make you think, well, you might as well stop doing that. Ain't nobody knows about it anyway. And boy, I tell you, what do you keep doing that for when all the while there's a God in heaven that's watching every little thing? Matter of fact, I read in that book right there that if you give a cold cup of water in the name of Jesus, that you'll not lose. If they're keeping such books in heaven that they're recording when you give somebody a cold drink of water, friend, you better believe heaven's keeping good books. And every little thing you've done, every little act of obedience, every little thing, one of these days, it's like they're tallying it up. And there's going to come a day when you're going to have a big need. I'm talking about, oh, it was a big need when her meal barrel was about to fail. But I will tell you, if you could ask her the truth, she'd say, I had a bigger need when there was no breath left in my son, when it seemed like I was ready to dig the grave. And I promise you this, I can imagine when Elijah brought that young man back to life, his soul came back into him. She's probably just saying, it was just a little cake. It was just a little oil. It was just a little fire. Oh, everything I've done was little. But I'm here to tell you, we're all a bunch of little Christians, but we serve a great big God, and I'm glad He's able to help us. Hallelujah. Don't dig the grave just yet. You don't know how big your little might become. Number three, you say, preacher, what else is it about this digging the grave? Just remember this. Don't dig the grave just yet. You don't know what surrendering everything to God might do. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible says here. The Bible said she's holding this boy and she's crying out to Elijah. She said, has God brought you here? Why has God brought you here to judge me? Why has God brought you here? My son. And Elijah looked at her and said, give me your son. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible said he took him out of her bosom. He didn't say he took him out of her hands. He didn't say he took him out of her arms. He took him out of her bosom. That word bosom, the root word that that word bosom comes from in the scriptures here, means to hide or conceal. To hold inside. In other words, I could picture this mama. She's overcome with grief. She's holding this youngin, and she's, and Elijah looks at her and said, give me your son. And in order for that boy to get help, she had to say, okay, here it is. I'm just going to give it to you. Can I say to you, sometimes the greatest thing you can do is your burden that you're carrying, that thing that you feel like is dying and you can't change it. The best thing you can do is not hide it. Don't hold it in. Don't try to fix it yourself. But say, God, here it is. I'm taking my hands off of it. And God, I'm giving it to you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When you surrender everything to God, God will, the business will start picking up in your life. So many people, though, it seems like it's hard for them to give everything to God. I had a dear lady in my church several years ago. She's probably 45 years old, and they'd been longtime members of the church and grew up around the church there. But every Sunday I'd give an invitation, and I would say something like this in the invitation. I'd always invite sinners to come to know Christ. But I'd say, you might be here and you've just got a heavy burden, and you just need to give it to God. You just bring it to God. And I'd say something like that every Sunday in the invitation. And one day she sent me a message. She said, "Preacher, I just wanted to talk to you." She said, "Every Sunday that you give an invitation, you say," and she repeated the words I would say. And she said, "If you've got something you need to just give to him," she said, "Preacher, every Sunday you're talking about me. Every Sunday, every invitation, you're talking about me." But she said, "Preacher, I don't know why I can't." She said, "I don't know if I could make it to the altar." That's what she told me. She said, "I just don't know if I could make it to the altar." And this is what stunned me, is what she said. She said, "Preacher, if the Lord would touch your heart one Sunday," she said, "would you come back and help me come to the altar?" I'd never had anybody say anything like that to me. She said, "if the Lord would touch your heart," she said, "I don't think I can make it by myself." And she said, "if the Lord would touch your heart, would you come back and help me? I might could make it if you'd help me." And I thought, oh my, what a weight that placed on me. And I began to pray. I said, "God, this is a request. I don't want to jump at anything lightly. I want you to be in it." I said, "but God, I'll do whatever you want me to do." We were there in the service the next Sunday, and I'll be honest with you, I'd preached and I was getting ready to give the invitation, and I was thinking, "Lord, are you wanting me to do what she's requested that I do?" And that day I wasn't feeling the Lord leading me strongly to do that. And I gave the invitation. I'm just giving the invitation, and the Lord hasn't really, I know it's in the back of my mind what she said. And I've said, "but God, I need to know it's you." And as I was giving the invitation, there were several in the altar. And all of a sudden I looked up and she stepped out and she started coming up the side. And she was under such a load, she didn't make it all the way to the altar. She kind of fell in the aisle. On her knees, just weeping. And I went back to where she was at. She wasn't in the altar, but I went all the way back in the aisle. And I got down and began to pray with her. And she swept that burden that she didn't feel like she could bring it. She couldn't make it all the way. It was too heavy. And this is what I told her. I said, "you know what? The Lord knew you couldn't make it all the way to the altar. But there's never been a time that God couldn't make it all the way to you." And I'm glad, praise God, wherever you're at, no matter where you may be, you may feel so weak that you can't even make it to an altar, but I'm glad there's a God that'll meet you wherever you need Him. Hallelujah. Don't dig the grave just yet, because you don't know what giving everything to God might do. You say, "preacher, what else is it?" Last of all, don't dig the grave just yet, because you don't know when a new breath might be on the way. You see, this little boy, he's on her lap. And the Bible said his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. All the breath's gone. Matter of fact, Elijah prayed that the Lord would send the soul of this child back into him. When your soul's gone, your graveyard dead. But the Bible said that, he said, "would you send the soul of this child back into him?" And the Bible said that all of a sudden, God heard the voice of Elijah. And the Bible said this child revived. Now this is what I want you to notice. Elijah's done taking him up into the loft where laid him on his own bed, and he's praying. And this lifeless body of this boy is laying there, and he said, God, did you bring me here to judge this woman for something? God, what are you doing here? And he said, God, if you would you send this soul of this child back into him? And I can imagine as Elijah's standing up and he's wiping tears, he's begging God for this boy. All of a sudden he looks and there's that little boy, lifeless. And then all of a sudden, and his chest starts moving up and down. You know what happened, don't you? A new breath came. That's exactly what our churches need tonight. COVID's just about took the breath out of us. The pandemic, the struggles we've been in, it is just about taking the breath out of the choir. It's just about taking the breath out of a Sunday school department. It's just about taking the breath out of the praisers and the worshipers of the house of God. But I'm going to tell you, you know what keeps me going back to the pulpit on Sunday? Is because I don't never know, this Sunday might be the Sunday that God sends a new breath. This Sunday might be the Sunday that God breathes and sends revival upon His people. Amen. Oh, it looks bleak. I know. I get it. Oh, you can grab your shovel and you can hold it if you want to. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Y'all are coming here on Sunday saying, God, would you send a new breath? God, would you help us? Amen. We can't help ourselves. And I'm glad God is still able to send revival to His people. Father, thank You for what You've done for us tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd bless us now in this time of invitation. God, would You just meet our needs? And God, You know what they are. And Father, I ask You that You'd bless us and help us in a special way. And Father, I pray for that one that may be here that has a need, a difficulty, something, Lord, that they need help with tonight. I pray that tonight, God, would You help them to give everything to You. God, I pray that You'd help them, Lord, to understand that You can bring someone into their life that will be a blessing and be a help. Lord, I pray, would You help us now by Your mercy and grace? Lord, we're going to thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Sister, if you would come and get us a song of invitation to play tonight. I want to ask you tonight, as God spoke to your heart tonight, what is it in your life that it seems like the life is just about gone out of it? It may be even your own walk with the Lord. You say, preacher, I just don't feel as close as I need to. And preacher, I just don't feel as close as I one time did. And preacher, I need God. It's looked bleak. And I've been thinking, God, surely You're not going to let this thing die. But I'm here to tell you, God's able tonight. It may be something in your personal life. And it may be a loved one or some situation with a child. It may be many different things tonight. But I'm here to tell you tonight, God's able to send a new breath. God's able to send revival where it don't seem like there's no way. I'm glad God's able to help you tonight if you'll let Him. Oh, that's right. You just come on. Let God help you tonight. You've got a burden. You've got somebody you need to pray for. Just find a place in this altar with these folks here. You can't never tell what God might do if we'll just trust Him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Some of you right now, you say, well, preacher, I'm trying to keep it alive. I know you're doing the best you can, but I'm going to tell you the best that we can do is give it to Him and trust God with it tonight. I wonder how many more. That's right. That's right. Just come on. Ask God to help you tonight. Just let Him. Just give it all to Him. Say, God, I need You to help me. God, I need You to touch me. Oh, Lord, I need Your help tonight. That's right. Oh, anybody else? That's right. Is there somebody here and you say, preacher, I'm just not sure if I've ever been saved? If you're here like that tonight and you need to be saved, I'm glad the Lord will save you tonight. There'll be somebody tonight, you say, preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved, but I sure would like to be. Would there be one lift your hand anywhere in the building tonight? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you in any way, but I will pray for you tonight. I wonder, would there be somebody like that? Maybe there's somebody here and you say, "Preacher, I haven't come to the altar, but God spoke to my heart. I've got some needs and burdens in my life. And preacher, I need God to help me. Preacher, I can't keep it alive. I need God to do something." Would you lift a hand and say, "Pray for me, preacher"? Anybody like that? Anybody waiting just a moment? We're going to pray with these that are gathered here. Our Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us here tonight. Lord, thank you for this people. Lord, such a easy group of people to preach to. Lord, I thank you for their friendship and their fellowship down through the years. And I thank you for the good pastor, Lord. I pray you'd bless him in these days. May you send a new breath upon us. God, would you just send a stirring and a reviving among your people. God, I pray, would you help us, God, tonight. Lord, may we not see the gloom and doom and the bleakness of the hour, but Lord, may we see what you can do. Lord, not look to our own self, but Lord, look to you. And I pray, Father, would you do just that, God, this week in this meeting. And Father, we're going to give you praise. We're going to give you honor and glory. Bless each one that's gathered here in this altar. Whatever the burden is, God, I pray, would you help them now tonight? God, we're going to give you praise for all you do. For Lord, you're worthy of it all tonight. God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, preacher, you come and take charge as you see fit. Oh, yes. Help us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, God.
Praise God, we've received help through the Word of God, the man of God. Praise the Lord. The little things. As he was preaching that thought, the little things, Lord reminded me last night about 7 o'clock, 7:15, whenever, as we were closing, the Lord gave my heart and said, ask the church to do a little thing. In times past, before COVID, many times we'd start and have 24 hour prayer, somebody here every hour for 24 hours, day and night, and it always worked. And the Lord said, I'm going to ask these little, something big, something little. I'll make something big out of it, but you do something little. So rather than go through the congregation and ask, he said, just 15 minutes. Let me speak to individual's heart, say, pray. You don't even have to come to church, he said, just pray somewhere, somebody 15 minutes, and I'll tell them when to do it. And I said, it'd be interesting if we see how God fits all together and continually be going on. That is, if we'll do the little things, just the small things. So I started bed last night, and I was going to get 3 o'clock, and he said, don't even set the alarm clock. I'll take care of that. If you're willing to get up, it won't be no problem. Just a little thing. 15 minutes. Would you do that again? He's asking, not me. Just something little. He could probably make something real big out of it. He specializes in it. A little obedience. It's something great. But just let him speak to your heart. He knows what time frame you're supposed to take. And let's come back tomorrow and just see. He gets to make something great out of it. Brother, we have enjoyed that. Thank God for your obedience, for your study, for your planning. Oh, mine's heart's clear. Thank God. We're going to ask you as you leave, the offering place will be back here. That you give offering tonight, if you want to make a check out, Fletcher First Baptist Church, it's all going to Brother Fletcher. And he has songbooks back there and CDs of his family singing. Wonderful. And so stop and visit that. And if the Lord gives your heart, get one of those. I'm sure you will enjoy it. Brother Aaron, if you get up, come up here, please, and get ready.